Thank you, Don. Thank you, Lionel. Grace.
2 weeks ago, we started a message. It was actually a continuation of a message from a few weeks before that, but it was entitled Grow. And we had Grow, the initial one, then I had a recap, kind of Grow 1.5, and now it's Grow Part 2. So we're going to recap a little bit, and I'm going to add a couple more on to where we're at. Paul said in Philippians 3:7, whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. We are in debt. We are in debt to Christ for all we have, for the grace that we've been given, for those things we've been forgiven for. So before we start, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer to get our hearts and minds in the right place. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come together in your house where we can worship you in spirit and in truth, where we can come together as a church family to listen to songs being sung, to your word being preached. And Lord, may you use the Holy Spirit to speak to each and one of our hearts. Lord, we ask that you clear our minds from all the distractions of this world and allow us to focus on the message that you have for us individually. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so this series, this long 14, 15, 16, well, we'll see how long it lasts, all right? Series entitled Becoming the Church That God Wants Us to Be. And listen, as we continue down this home stretch of this series, and I am praying that we are in the home stretch, but we are unpacking powerful and essential truths that will help each and every one of us, that the church that Jesus intended is made up of people, men and women, young and old, that are living their lives on mission. People who, like Jesus, have both built and are centering their lives around three things. Jesus, when he was here, he pretty much focused on three things: seeking the lost, making disciples, and showing compassion. And you know, a lot of times in the Bible, that word compassion is translated either from out of the Greek to love. Compassion, love, same thing. And the way we summarize the path to living our lives on mission is around these four words: belong, grow, serve, and engage. Belong, grow, serve, and engage. So we thought we're still in grow. And life on mission, though, begins with the word belong. You have to, in order to live a life on mission, you have to belong to Christ. And it also helps if you belong to his church. Imagine showing up at work, do a whole day's work, go to the boss. Hey, boss, I did all this work for you. You did? I never hired you. What do you mean you never hired me? You know, you're expecting to get paid, and he's like, I never hired you. Belonging to his church is identifying as one of his workers, as one of his people. A life lived on mission depends on or deepens with grow. Like newborn babies, Paul says, or Peter says, like newborn babies that crave spiritual milk, so that it by you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know, you come to church and not a whole lot happens for a while. You hear some messages that make little sense in your life. And then one day somebody flips the switch and it just makes sense. And you realize that that's God talking to you personally. And you know that the Lord is good. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Why? Why do we do all these things? Why? Because God works them out in us. Continue to work out, not work on, work out your salvation. Now, a few Sundays ago, I don't know how many, I'm kind of lost track, we began looking at the spiritual growth habits that will help us grow as Christians, grow up in our salvation. Habit. We talked about what a habit is. A habit is a continual, often unconscious inclination to do a certain activity acquired through frequent repetition. Okay? I talked about it's an established disposition of your character. I always shave one side of my face first. I don't know why I do it. I just do it. You put your pants on first one leg at a time. You've been doing it for so long, you don't even realize why you're doing it because you've been doing it that way forever. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, spend your time and energy training yourself for spiritual fitness. We all know what it's like to train for physical fitness, right? Not a lot of fun. But training for spiritual fitness, because he says physical fitness has some value. But spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward both in this life and in the life to come. Everybody's looking forward to that life, right? New body, no problems, all right? So far we've looked at the habit of regular church attendance. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some has had the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Everybody look forward, right? Everybody's looking up. Everybody's looking forward to the day when we get to spend forever in eternity, right? Hebrews 10:25. The second one is the habit of doing life together. We are a family. Look around your left and your right. Those are your brothers and those are your sisters. We're in this struggle together, this struggle called life. In him, you're also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:22. The third habit is the habit of spending time in God's Word. Be diligent to present yourself approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to know not just how to read the Bible, but to accurately teach other people about it. Once we know it, once we understand it, we need to be able to give them that word, which will help them grow. The Bible says, sanctify them by the truth, and your word is the truth. John 17:17. This morning, we're going to look into two more spiritual growth habits. So the first three were what? Doing church together, right? The habit of doing life together, and the habit of spending time in God's Word. Now we're going to talk about the habit of talking to God. You say, people are going to think I'm crazy. No, I'm just talking about prayer. That's all I'm talking about. Just talking about the habit of talking to God, prayer. So what other nation, it says in Deuteronomy 4:7, what other nation is so great to have their gods near them in the way that our God is near us whenever we pray to him? How far is God away from you? I don't know. Because of Christ, Ephesians 3:12, because of Christ, our faith in him, we can now come fearlessly into the God's presence, assured with his glad welcome. What allows us faith and an entrance into the Holy of Holies to be able to speak to God one-on-one? The blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life and be part of God's family, adopted into God's family. Prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is just coming into the presence of God. It's entering the throne room of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're saying, that sounds like a big deal. Well, yeah, it is. But that King of Kings and Lord of Lords is also what? Abba Father, right? Daddy. Prayer is taking our concerns to the one who cares for us, for you. He loves you and he cares about you. So when you have concerns, you're free to take them to him. Prayer is communicating with the Creator of the world. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Because prayer is bringing our hurts and our sorrows to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it gets, God is just a prayer away. He's there all the time. Prayer is reaching out to the never tired, never confused, never afraid, or taken by surprised Redeemer. He's there. Prayer is crying out to the rock that is higher than eyes, Psalm says. Prayer is bringing our questions to the person or the one who has the answers. You ever went to a friend and said, hey, I got this problem, I need some help. And you ask them the question and they're like, I ain't got no clue. It'd be nice to go to someone who has all the answers, right? No matter what your question or what your problem is, God is there and he knows the answer. Prayer is what triggers and unleashes the supernatural power of God. Prayer is coming near to God, drawing near to him. Deuteronomy 4:7 again says, what other nation is so great to have their gods near them the way our Lord is near us whenever we pray to him? God is right there. God is right here waiting to listen. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, right? What can prayer do? Okay, what can't prayer do? That should be a better question, right? When we ask the question, well, what can prayer do? It can do anything that God can do, right? And God can do anything. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. James 5:16, 17, and 18. Moses prayed, and he turned back God's wrath. Jonah prayed, and the big fish spit him up onto the beach. Joshua prayed, and the Jordan parted. Solomon prayed, and God gave him wisdom. David prayed, and his enemies were defeated. Esther prayed, and her people were saved from annihilation. Nehemiah prayed, and the walls of Jerusalem got built. Believers prayed, and the building shook, and the church was born. The church prayed, and the gospel spread throughout the world despite of persecution. I'm going to give you a few acronyms that will help you in what we're talking about in prayer. And it should be an insert in your Bible. If it's not, write it on the back. Just write Acts. Leave a little space in between the letters. A-C-T-S. Acts. The Acts of Prayer. Have you ever thrown a bunch of clothes into the washing machine and when it hit the spin cycle, you thought there was an earthquake happening or your whole house was about to fall down? Right? I've been there. What was the problem with the washer? It was what? It was out of balance. All right? The load was not properly balanced. If we are not careful, our prayer life can become unbalanced and be like an unbalanced washing machine on spin cycle. The following is a pattern that I've used for prayer. It was actually taught to me at seminary for many years, and it's been used by many years by many Christians all over the world. All you have to do is remember four letters, A-C-T-S. I might add another letter later. That's why God gave me a thumb, right? That's four fingers and a thumb. All right, Acts. Now, all you have to do is remember Acts. First one, adoration. Adoration, entering the holy space. When you're about to go to God in prayer, it's exactly how Jesus told us to pray, right? We're supposed to begin our prayers. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in the heavens, hallowed be your name. So we, in adoration, we are talking to God and telling God just how wonderful that he is. Okay? Notice he did not say what, but how. Okay? This is how you pray, not what you pray. There's people that got this confused. This was a skeleton framework for a prayer, but it's not what something you can just repeat over and over again. It's good to be able to remember it so that you can remember the steps. He did not say what, but how. Now, the word heaven is plural, in the original Greek. Now, I can't remember exactly how long ago I taught on the Lord's Prayer. And I think we probably did 9 or 12 weeks on the Lord's Prayer. But something I didn't discover until I did that series, and although most of the translations miss it, it's very significant. And I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit was very intentional about, you see, the Jews believed in three heavens, all right? First heaven, that's the atmosphere. That's where you and I are walking around on. It's the air that we breathe. The second heaven is where the stars and the planets and all that other stuff is. And the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. Well, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about going to the third heaven. Heavens equal God. God is not only in his holy dwelling place in heaven, but he is also as close as the very air that we breathe in this first heaven. Where's God? God's everywhere. Okay? If we're breathing in air, God's right there. And listen, adoration, the A in Acts, adoration sets the tone for your entire prayer. All right? It's the first note in the song. It's everything. It sets the tone by reminding us on who God is, by reminding us of whose presence that we have just entered. It's basically declaring back to God who he is and what he's like. You're saying, well, why do I need to do that? God knows very well who he is. Yeah, but how long does it take you to forget? How long? Just how wonderful God is and all the things he's done for you. And the reason it's not so important, not to stroke his ego, but to lift up our eyes, to lift up our heads and our hearts and mind to his glory and his power. So we say things like, God, you are awesome, great, powerful, holy. Those are good starts. God, you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. You guys heard that one before, right? God, you are my rock, my helper, my deliverer, my redeemer. Say, hey, we're going back to the Psalms now. Yeah, David was great at praying God back to him. God, nothing is too big for you. Nothing is too impossible or too hard for you. God, you are mercy, and your mercy is new every single morning. And your grace is enough. Enough for what? Enough for anything. God, you part seas, you slay giants, you bring walls crumbling down. You provide a way when there is no way. See, when it came to praising God, David was pretty awesome. He was a beast when it came to praising God. Praying God back to him. We can learn so much from him about his adoration of God. Here's one example. I love you, Lord. Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved by my enemies. Saved from my enemies. Psalm 18. So I would encourage you as you are praying to come up with a list of characteristics of God that you can pray to him, but it's more to get you in the right framework, in the right place to worship God and to come into his presence. So as you read the Bible, make a list of God's qualities. God is, and just keep making a list. Someday some of those things on that list will pop off to you and you can pray them back to God. God is my shepherd. Psalm 23, you lead me, you feed me, you protect me. Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider, right? Genesis 22:14, you see what I need before I even ask. Yahweh Shalom, God is my peace. You give me peace in spite of my circumstances. So when the whole world's going crazy all around you, inside you can still have peace. Yahweh Nissi, God is my banner. Exodus 17:15. You are my victory in conflict. and my confrontation. How many people have conflict and confrontation this week? See, there are some people raising their hands. But you are my victory in that conflict and in that confrontation. God is my healer. Exodus 15:26. You can heal my body, you can heal my emotions, and you can heal my relationships. How many people in here have a broken body, broken emotions, and you need your relationships fixed? Is that it? Wow. You guys are really doing good. God is present with me. Ezekiel 48. You are here, and I am never alone. I will never leave you or forsake you. So wherever you go, God's going with you. You take God wherever you go. Yahweh Makadishim. God is my sanctification. Yeah, it's about that long. Starts with an M. Yeah, and it ends with K-E-M. So I just kind of in the middle and chem at the end. Makadishim, right? God is my sanctification. That's how you speak Greek. You know? Apologize afterward and help them wipe the spit off their face. But hey, Leviticus 28. You make me holy and like Jesus. God is transforming you into the person that He wants to spend eternity with. And that person looks like who? Jesus. We're all supposed to be being transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. All right. So we need to practice the A, the adoration in Acts. All right. The C in Acts is confession. Come and clean with God. So we start off with telling God how wonderful He is and all the things that He can do. And then we come clean with God. Why? Anybody ever been down on the road? They're driving down the road and they only get one station and it's kind of static. So you'll hear part of a song, maybe a little bit of news, some more static, and then the song comes back, right? Everything's not coming in clear. You want to hear the song, you can forget about the news, and the static you can just forget about. Well, when we have sin in our life, it's like that static on that radio station. We're not tuned in. We're off by a couple of whatever. I don't know what the measure on the bars are. Megahertz, whatever it is, all right? But we need to remember to ask God to forgive us our trespasses, like it says in that prayer, Matthew 6:12. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. Psalm 139. What are the benefits of confession? Telling God all the places that you screwed up. Me? Sometimes my list is long, sometimes it's not. But the Bible says the one who conceals his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Proverbs 28. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. I talked about that one many a time. God removes our guilt. Psalm 32, 3 through 5. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through all my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the droughts of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. That doesn't straighten it all out right there. Listen, you can hold on to it as long as you want to, but it's like throwing bricks in a backpack. You know, after that 25th or 26th brick, it gets kind of heavy carrying that around, doesn't it? See, we know that God will what? Hear our prayers. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is His ear too deaf to listen to your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. Old Testament, Isaiah 59. We don't want anything to get between us and God, do we? Especially our sins. All right? So when we start, we tell God how great He is, how awesome He is, and then we need to tell Him just all the places that we've messed up since we talked to Him last. Let's practice the C in Acts, the confession. So we have A, adoration. C, confession. Okay? Then it's T, right? A-C-T. At least I think I'm spelling that right. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Expressing gratitude to God. What are you thankful for? Well, Lord, I got up this morning. I was breathing in and out. The sun came up. I guess it was a good day, right? We all need to remember all the blessings that the Lord has given us. Now, some, we feel blessings more evidently than other people. Some people are blessed all the time and they kind of take it for granted. For me, I really enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Psalm 100. I think it's Psalm 100. Make and keep a list of all the things that you are thankful for. You know, one of my favorite songs is hymn number 786. And a lot of you probably know this. Count your blessings, right? Count your blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, right? When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will surprise you what the Lord has done. You need to sing that. 786. One of these days. Soon. So let's remember the T in Acts. Thanksgiving. Remember all the wonderful things that God has done for us. And just because you tell them one time, it's not any problem to tell them something again. Father, I thank you for... And then start your list. So supplication, asking God to intercede. That's the S in Acts. So we have adoration, telling God how awesome He is. We have confession, making sure that our slate's clean before we go before God Himself. We have T, thanksgiving, thanking God for all the things He did in the past. Now we have supplication, asking God to intercede on our behalf. So after we've done all the first things, then we can start praying for ourselves and our friends and our family. And everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians 4:6, right? Pray first for the kingdom. Pray first for the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:12. This is where you pray for God's will to be done in our life, in my life, in our life, in the church's life, in people who aren't saved's life, your church, your ministry, your job, your family, your life, your country, your community, the world. And by the way, that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name, right? Second, pray for others. You pray for God's will to be done. And then you pray for other people. Pray for your family. Pray for your Christian friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends you like to see become Christians. Everybody have some of those, right? Spiritual leaders. We all need prayer, especially your spiritual leaders. How about government leaders? I know they need prayer, all right? But sometimes it's hard to know what to pray for other people. So a friend of mine taught me this. Paul, in every single one of his letters, basically only prayed for three things for people. That they would know, that they would live, or that they would have. Know, live, and have. That they would know God better, Ephesians 1:17. That they would know their hope and their spiritual riches. Okay, Ephesians 1:18. That they would know the power that you have once you become a Christian. Ephesians 1:19. That they would know the depth of God's love for them. Do you actually understand how much God loves you? Ephesians 3:17. That they would know right from wrong. 2 Corinthians 13:7. And Philippians 1:9. Just throw that one in there. That they would live. Okay? That they would know and that they would live. Live a life that pleases God and is fruitful. Live a life abounding with more and more love. Can anybody in here have too much love and don't know what to do with it? Exactly. That they could live a life that was actively sharing their faith. How many people in here are chicken a witness to somebody? I used to be that way. Pray for boldness. That they would have. They would live. They would have. Have great endurance and patience. Who in here doesn't need more patience? Okay? Well, if you're praying for somebody else, pray that they have patience too, especially if you're a friend of mine. You need to have patience because you're dealing with me, right? And that we can have joy and peace, Romans 15, 13. That we could have inner strength, Ephesians 3, 16. And lastly, we pray for ourselves. Okay? The last thing we do is pray for ourselves. We pray for our daily needs. Now, you notice I said needs, right? Not once. What's that song out there? God gave me a Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz or something like that. God's not in the habit of answering prayers like that. But pray for what you need and work for what you want. Okay? God, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me mercy. Give me enough energy to get through the day without having to do shots of espresso, right? That you would forgive others just as God has forgiven you. How hard is it to hold on to that? You reach into your pocket and you pull out that list and it says, yep, you did that on that date. Well, that was a year ago. I'm still mad at him. You know? We would forgive other people as God forgave us. That we would become more and more like Jesus. So let's practice the S in Acts. Supplication. Praying for ourselves and others. So will you embrace the habit of talking to God by practicing Acts? A-C-T-S. Adoration. Confession. Thanksgiving. And supplication. And the last thing we do is pray for ourselves. The habit of having quiet time is the next one on the list. Quiet time. Now, people get quiet time, prayer time, reading your Bible, all kind of jumbled together. All right? Definition. A quiet time is a daily time that's set aside to be alone with God, to get to know Him better through Bible study and prayer. Okay? So quiet time is basically you spending time with God in the Bible and prayer. All right. The habit of having a daily quiet time. A quiet time is a daily time set aside to be alone with God. To be alone with who? God. All right? The importance of a quiet time. Now understand, your time alone with God should be a top priority on your schedule for five reasons. We are created to have a relationship with who? With God. And from Genesis to Revelation, we see God's passionate desire to have that relationship. Has anybody ever seen the painting, God's Search of Man? All right, God's coming across in the clouds. I think it was painted by Michelangelo. And I think it's on the Sistine Chapel. But God is coming across, there's clouds, there's angel, and God is like on his tiptoes and he's got his finger pointing way out like this. And over here, sitting down on the ground, he's got one knee up and he's got his hand on top of his knee and he's just got one finger raised. God is making this concerted effort to get to Adam, to have this relationship with him. And Adam's like, that's it. That's all Adam gave him. The difference, the kind of indifference, he doesn't even know if he wants to lift the finger to make that relationship with God happen. When the cool of the evening breezes came and they were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking in the garden. Genesis 3:8. What did God do in the cool of the evening? He went down to spend time with who? Adam and Eve. Exodus. A couple books later. I will consecrate the tent of the meeting and the altar. And I will also consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the Israelites, and I will be their God. And they will know that I am Yahweh, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt so that I might dwell among them, that I am their God. Exodus 29:44. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John 1:14. God, we are meant to have a relationship with God. We are supposed to be spending time with God. Go to the end of the book, Genesis, Exodus. Now let's go to Revelation. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." Did you know that Jesus died to make that relationship possible? Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. Hebrews 10:19 and 20. So we see that Jesus made it possible for us to have that relationship with God, that close, intimate, personal relationship with God. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain? The curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. It was torn from top to bottom. 40-foot tall curtain, probably about a quarter to 3/8 inches thick. And it was ripped from top to bottom. How many people got enough muscles in here to do that? I don't think so. You might be able to tear it a foot. But God tore it with no problem. Just like that. Opened the way for us so that we could have an intimate relationship with God. Seriously, how tragic to ignore the very fact that Jesus made it possible. His death on the cross. But time alone with God was Jesus' source of strength. When you look at Jesus' life, Jesus, it says, He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In other words, quiet places, places where there weren't no distractions. And He prayed, Mark 1:35. Splendor and majesty are often before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary, Psalm 96. Every person in the Bible that did great things for God had this habit. Moses, David, Abraham, Daniel, Paul, and quite a few other people. You can't be a healthy, growing Christian without it. This time of spending time with God. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Where can we hear God's word? Right here in our Bible. God can also talk to us through prayer and quiet time. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it they may grow up into your salvation. Wow. 1 Peter 2:3. What is the purpose of quiet time? To give devotion to God. We are taking some of our day and we're setting it aside and say, okay, God, this is your time and I'm going to do nothing but spend it with you. To ascribe to God the glory, His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. That's what Psalm 29 says. God deserves our devotion. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. Why are we here? Why do things work the way they work? Because God made it that way. God desires some devotion from us. But the hour is coming and is here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. John 4:23. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And listen, if you ever leave this room on a Sunday thinking, wow, I didn't get anything out of church today. Not that that's ever going to happen, right? I didn't get anything out of church today. Well, sorry, it's not about you. We come in here to do what? To worship God. The purpose is to worship God. Second, to gain delight in God. Bottom line, if you develop the habit of quiet time, you will be happier. Your mood swings will improve. Just delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, some people take that one a little too far, right? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, if you're doing your quiet time with God, you're reading the Bible and you're praying, you should be pretty much on the same track as God. So when you're praying in Jesus' name and praying the will of God, guess what? The same thing. All right. Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the paths of life, and in your presence there is a fullness of joy. Your right hand are the pleasures forevermore." When we get close to God, we can get a little access to some of that good stuff that we need in our life every day to counterbalance all the bad things that are given to us. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in the truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior and my hope is in you all day long." Psalm 25. And First Baptist, getting direction from God will help you do two very important things each day. First of all, consider your ways. Proverbs 4:26 says, "Carefully consider the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established." Right? So if we consider our ways, we can say, "Okay, Lord, what's out of whack in my life?" You know, it's all of a sudden the washing machine's doing one of these numbers, right? And you're like, "I only got a pair of socks in there. Why is it doing that?" And you can't figure it out. And God's, if you pray, God will tell you what's out of whack in your life. If you have quiet time, God will show you what's out of whack. And secondly, consider your ways and commit your day. How important is it to leave the house or leave your quiet time with a plan for your day? Some of you like to just drift through life, right? Take things as they come. Not good. Commit everything that you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Psalm 37:5. Third part of that is to grow more like God. What's our goal in life? The whole purpose of this life is to do what? Become more and more like Jesus. All right? So here's the deal. If you're going to become more like Jesus, who do you want to spend the most time with? God, right? His word. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know, no seminary, no nothing in my life. I'm standing up here at 19 years old and I give a 50-minute sermon. Pastor Elliot knew I was going to be a pastor before I did. But you know what? I'd spent time in the Word. I had spent time with Jesus. So when I opened my mouth, He came out. His divine power, 2 Peter 2:1. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these He has given us great and precious promises so that through them they may share in the divine nature. Share in the divine nature. Escaping the corruption that's in the world because of evil desires. That doesn't sum it up. 2 Peter 1:3-4. Peter is saying that when we know Him more, we have access to His divine power to help us live the life that He wants us to live. A life that is more like Jesus' life. We share in His divine nature because He lives in us. And we are also able to overcome our evil desires. We resist those things that aren't good for us. How do we have a quiet time? Select a specific time. The time that's when you're at your best. I am a morning person. I get up in the morning and I am, after one cup of coffee, I'm good to go. Well, maybe two. I usually get one cup of coffee When I make my second cup of coffee, I grab my Bible and I go do my thing. While I'm drinking coffee, I'm spending time with God because God drinks coffee too, right? Oh, sorry, I mean, that was a question. Select a specific time. Whatever's good for you. When are you at your best? You want to give God your best, don't you? Well, some people are night owls and some people are morning persons. I have no problems with people that do it at night before they go to bed. But, I mean, I get up very early in the morning, like Jesus did. Very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed, Mark 1:35. Baptism. Why do we dunk people? Why is that big, huge pool back there? Big enough to do laps in. Because it was good enough for Jesus, so it was good enough for me, right? Dunk, sprinkle. If Jesus was dunked, I'm good. If it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. Choose a specific place. Now go someplace that's, you're not going to have a whole bunch of distractions. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, where his disciples followed him. Luke 22:39. Gather all the stuff up that you're going to need. Your Bible, your notebook, your earbuds, your devotional book, coffee, your ball cap, sunscreen, bug spray, whatever you're going to need. Well, that's some people that live up there in Maine where them mosquitoes can carry off like pterodactyls. But when you get out there, you have all your stuff, you're ready, you're attentive, you're awake. Now it's time to get down and, well, how do you do it? Well, start by relaxing. Breathe. Okay? Be relaxed. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Be real. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Matthew 6:5. Right? That's not us. We're going into a solitary place where it's quiet with no distractions, noise-canceling headphones or earbuds, right? So we can ignore the world around us. Don't try to impress God. Does God know everything about you? Can you say anything that's going to impress God? Wow, yeah. It's interesting to think about, right? Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law, Psalm 119, right? That I may see the wonderful things in your law. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, James 1:22. Follow a simple plan. Relax. R. The R, relax. Just remember this acronym, relax. R. Slow down and breathe. Relax. Okay? Be still and I and know. Breathe. E. R is relax. 2 is enter. Come into his presence in prayer. It's a good idea whenever you approach the throne of grace, throne of God, to approach it in prayer on your knees. Okay? You don't have to be on your knees, but in an attitude of submission. So we have relax. R, relax. E, enter. A, adoration. Entering the holy place. C, confession. Coming clean with God, thanksgiving, expressing gratitude to God. And be sure that you enter by thanking God for his word and asking him to open up your heart, your mind to hear him. Just like I did before I opened up this church service. Clear out our minds. Remove all the distractions and allow us to focus on your word and your message for us. R-E-L. Listen. Read God's word. That's what we're doing, right? When we're reading God's word, that's God speaking. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? That's us listening to God. R. E. L. A. Ask. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? We used this old acronym a few weeks ago, and I said escape. E-S-C-A-P-E. Is there an error to avoid? Is there a sin to confess? Is there a command to obey something? Is there an attitude that needs changing? Is there a promise that we can cling or claim? And this, lastly, is there an example to follow? Exit, relax. The last part of relax is X. Couldn't find a word for X, so I used exit. Ask God to help intercede for the kingdom, and then for other people, and then yourself. All right, we've talked about how we do it. Let's talk about some of the problems that can come up real quick. Schedule it. It's a discipline problem, all right? Habits take time to form. Schedule it. Ask someone to hold you accountable. Be prepared for excuses, okay? Go to bed on time. If your quiet time's at 5 o'clock in the morning, if you go to bed at 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, you think you're going to be wanting to get out of bed at 5? Go to bed on time. Get up immediately. The problem of distractions. Have anybody ever been to New York City? I mean, downtown New York City. Can you find a quiet place in New York City? No. Now, if you're talking about quiet time with God, how do you overcome that? Noise-canceling headphones? Whatever it takes to find some quiet, right? Go out into the park where it's still not quiet, but hey. The problem is distractions. Get out of bed, maybe before the entire house wakes up. Get thoroughly awake. Slam 2 shots of espresso and then hit your coffee, all right? So you're fully awake. Read and pray out loud. Hearing you're saying it. Let all your emails, your texts, your social media, and everything else wait, okay? Be sure to be in your specific spot. The one that you've picked out that's quiet for a quiet time. In front of your TV, you know, in front of the TV at your desk is not going to work, okay? You need a specific spot. And now let me talk about the problem of dryness. So if you start doing quiet time, you're going to enter into times of dryness. Never judge your quiet time by your feelings, okay? God's going to show up even if you don't, okay? Feelings, your feelings lie to you all the time. Possible causes of spiritual dryness. Your physical condition. Did you get enough sleep last night? Did you get something to eat? Is your stomach sitting there growling at you while you're trying to do your devotions? Disobedience to God. Hey, the last person who wants to go into devotions is the person who really messed up yesterday and has got to face God, right? You have not been acting on the insights that God has given you. Maybe God has been talking to you left and right and you just ain't been following His advice. And now your life's all messed up and you're like, yeah, I know, you were right. See, why is God going to give you new insights in your life if you haven't followed the old ones first? How about rushing your quiet times? I call these drive-by devotions. You know what I'm talking about? Drive-by devotions. Make sure you're sharing your insights that you get in your devotions with other people. If you do not give out what God has given you, you will back up like the Dead Sea, okay? You say, well, what if I miss a day? What if I can't make it one day? Don't go on a guilt trip. Don't become legalistic. Don't give up. Keep doing your devotions. Remember, it takes 3 weeks, 21 days to make or break a habit. So how long do you have to do devotions and have quiet time? 21 days before it becomes a habit. To become familiar with a new habit, and another 3 weeks before it becomes comfortable. But listen, when you first start doing this, it's going to feel strange. It's going to be a lot to you. After 21 days, you start settling in. 3 weeks later, it's part of your normal routine. And if you don't do it, it's going to feel wrong. Spend your time, spend your energy, and your training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is more important. It promises a reward both in this life and in the next. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. I'm going to close in prayer. And if anybody needs those notes, just let me know. I should have printed out for next week. And Don's going to come up here. He's going to pick a song for us to sing. And I'm going to close in prayer. And then I'm going to read Psalm 128. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come to your house, to have you speak to us. Each and every one of us heard a different message today. Lord, I just thank you that you have developed in me something that I can teach others. And Lord, I don't know how many people are going to actually follow these things, but I just ask that you move in our hearts and minds to the people that spending time with you in prayer and study and devotion is important for us to grow up to the people that you want to spend eternity with. So Lord, as we continue to study this on becoming the church that you want us to be, we just ask you continue to give us your mercy, your grace, the patience that we need, and the forgiveness for when we fall short. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted above all God. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth.
Psalm that I just say? Was it 19 or 29? 128? I got a memory like Swiss cheese. I know what I was thinking. You said Psalm what?
128.
Okay. Can't ever go wrong with a psalm. You don't want else to read? Read a psalm. Psalm 128, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You know, I was very happy this week when we got the news that when Lainey Madison was born on Tuesday, and that we have a new member of our church. But I can't wait to meet her. She's so beautiful and she's so pretty. I love little babies. I think they're a precious gift from God. But just remember what that psalm said. You'll be blessed when you get to see your children's children or your grandchildren. So don't forget to hug them and love on them and know that they are a gift from God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the time we could spend together. We ask that you watch over us, protect us, and keep us safe. Put a hedge of protection around us until we can come back together again as your family and to worship you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Lord God.